And it's entitled, Making Life Work. Making Life Work. You know, just trying to get it right. When I think about it, I think that probably we ought to dismiss the children for their children's church. That probably is what that means, because we have Juana back here waving at me. She thinks I've started, and of course she was right. So everybody, all the kids going to Bible Trekkers or children's church, whatever it is, there they go. They are the best looking kids in Sacramento. We love them. There they are. Okay. Oh, I tell you, great kids. They do wonderful things with those kids. And when we're talking about children, of course, we're thinking about when we were children, and how much training did you receive on how you should live? Some of us received quite a bit. Probably we received a lot that at the time we didn't appreciate, didn't want, didn't like, and thought the parents did not know what they were talking about. Was that true of any of you? Oh, thank you. I'm the only one. Yeah, okay. No, some of you agreed to it. You fessed up to it. But others of you did not. You did not have the kind of parents that showed you how to live and how to make life work, and so you've been kind of making it up as you go along. How's it been working for you? Well, sometimes good, sometimes bad, sometimes awful. One of the things that we need to know, of course, is we need to know, how do we please God? We're pretty sure that that is one of the requirements of making life work. It is to please God. We are told that. It is one of the basis for nearly all religions. All religions are trying to please some God. Maybe our God, their God, multiple gods. Everybody that has some idea of God, nearly all of their religions rotate around the idea that they have to please God in some way. It leads them to do some strange and in some cases awful things. We here in this country, we have a Christian heritage, or at least leaders who were Christian. So we have kind of that heritage in the United States. But it certainly is not to say that we are a Christian nation. We are not a Christian nation. In point of fact, Christ died to save people. He did not die to save nations, organizations. So, how do we get life to work? We have all of this information. Well, the place that we look is we look in His Word. We see what He has to say. A lot of people think that we can do this and our lives are made better by it by doing certain things that are religious. You see? Some people believe that it's just all right if you can please God by being nicer to other people. I haven't met as many of those as I would like, but nonetheless, some people think that. A lot of people, when you ask them about this, about what they should do in terms of faith in their life, they usually revert to they should practice the golden rule. Do unto others before they do unto you. Or variations on that theme. Yeah, we know about those. For some people, it's all about rules. Don't do this. Don't do that. But the Bible doesn't say that any of these things are really what you need. Some people think that it has to do with how faithful you are in church attendance. That if you are baptized and you just do church stuff, that somehow that puts you on God's A-list. But even that is not what the Bible says. The Bible tells us very clearly that God is not interested in ritual, and He's not interested in rules, and He's not interested in regulations. It even tells us that He's not interested in religion. God is not that interested in religion. God is interested in His relationship with you. That is what God is interested in. He wants you to learn to trust Him. That's what He wants. Okay? The Bible says that it's impossible to please God unless you have one thing. Here it is. It's found in Hebrews, the 11th chapter and the 6th verse. Read it with me, will you please? Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So if you are interested in pleasing God, you obviously have to believe that he exists in order to be pleased. So that's why I'm going to talk to you about making life work. And we start with the first essential ingredient that you need in order for your life to work. And the first essential ingredient that you have to have is we start by learning about faith. It's a word we hear all the time. They talk about it on the news, the faith community. Not sure just what that is. I have a feeling they're talking about us. See? So we use that term all the time, but I want to talk to you this morning about what it has to do with your personal relationship with God every moment of every day. As you go about all the stuff that you go about. It says in Jude, a little tiny book in the New Testament, Jude 1:20, it says, "But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith." So it tells us the only way we can please God, the only way we can do what God created us to do and to be what God created us to be, is we do it through faith. We are admonished to that. So, this morning, we're going to look at how you build faith into your life. What is faith anyway? You know, now obviously you have some interest in pleasing God, those of you here this morning, because otherwise you wouldn't be here this morning. You had no interest in that. If God says it's impossible to please me unless you live by faith, then it's important for us to know what that means, wouldn't you say? I would think, oh, yeah. So this morning I'm going to look at 6 aspects of living a life of faith. 6 different ways faith will show up in your life, okay? And we're going to do this by looking at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews, the book of Hebrews in the New Testament, chapter 11, is called the great faith chapter because it goes through and it gives a list of individuals, historical individuals in the Bible, who lived by faith and found God's salvation that way because of their faith, okay? So here we go. Faith is, number one, believing when I don't see it. Believing when I don't see it. Now, we know that in the world we live in this social milieu, in the world that we live in, their motto is, what you see is what you get. Have you ever heard anybody say that? People say it all the time. What you see is what you get. But God says to us, no, it's what you believe is what you get. It's not what you see, it's what you believe. It says in Hebrews 11:1, read it with me. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. That's faith. Believing when I don't see it. Faith is visualizing the future in the present. It's seeing it in advance, being certain of what we do not see. Whether you're an architect planning a building, or an artist planning a sculpture, or an Olympic athlete searching for a gold medal, whatever it may be, if you even are a scientist, and you're searching for a subatomic particle like the Higgs boson, you have to believe it before you ever see evidence of it. That's how it works. That's faith, see? Believe it before you can see it. I've always been amazed by architects. We have how they can look at a blank piece of land and they can visualize, they can see a building there. Always amazed me. That's faith. That's believing it before you can see it. But it's even more than that, faith is. Faith is, number two, obeying when I don't understand it. And there's an awful lot in life that we do not understand. Would you agree with me about that? Awful lot. So we are given here about obeying when I don't understand it. We are given a couple of exhibits out of the Bible. The first one is Exhibit A. And Exhibit A is the story of Noah in the Old Testament. Now, you remember who Noah is? Noah, go and build me a boat. That's right, that's Noah. See? Noah and the ark. Think of the doubts that Noah must have had. God comes to Noah and he says to Noah, basically, he says, I'm going to wipe out the human race and start over with you. This would raise some doubts. There's a certain lack of understanding there, okay? It says there in Hebrews, the 11th chapter and the 7th verse, read this with me. It was by faith that Noah built an ark to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about something that had never happened before. So if you're following along in your outline there, I want you to circle three words in that verse. Circle the word faith and circle the word obeyed. Just two words. And connect them, because that is the key, see? Obeying when I do not understand it. The Bible tells us that obedience is faith, and faith is obedience, okay? Especially when I don't understand it, when it doesn't make any sense. For instance, in this case of Noah, the line in that verse that I want you to look at is the very last one, who said, obeyed God, who warned him about something that had never happened before. You know what had never happened before? It had never rained before. There had never been a flood before. It was a totally different atmosphere. They got their water by dew and by condensation, but they had not had this. Some scholars believe the earth was covered entirely by a thick cloud layer during that time. So when he says he warned him about something that had never happened before, I mean, this was a tangible event. It had never rained before, never had a flood before. So he tells Noah to build an ark. He does not tell him to build it in the ocean, which would have been logical because Noah lived in the desert. He said to Noah, don't worry about the water. I'm going to bring it. I'll bring it to you. See, those are doubts. Obeying when I don't. Noah did not understand any of this, but he went to work. He obeyed when it didn't make sense. Exhibit B. Exhibit B is Abraham. Let's read this together. It was faith that made Abraham obey when God called him to go out to a country God had promised to him. He left his own country without knowing where he was going. Abraham at the time is 75 years old. He's living in a place called Ur of the Chaldees. It's located, we know where this is, it was located in modern day Iraq. Okay? Now, he's ready, he's drawing Social Security and retired. See, he's 75 years old. And God comes to him and says to him, you're not going to retire, you're going to get ready for an adventure at 75. And I'm going to use you to start a brand new nation at 75 years of age. So Abraham may have had some questions, such as, well, Lord, where are we going? And God would have said, you never heard of it. Well, how long is it going to take us to get there? Don't worry about it. Well, how will I know if I'm there? And God said, I'll tell you. Later. Okay? Would you do it? Abraham did it. He did it. And because he did, he became the founding father of the nation of Israel. He obeyed when it didn't make any sense whatsoever. No sense whatsoever. He still followed God's leading. You see, faith, as we are speaking of it this morning, faith always involves risk. It always involves risk. We always want some kind of guarantee. We want a guarantee of success before we obey God. But God says, a guarantee of success doesn't require faith. See? I want you to believe, God tells us, I want you to believe when you don't see it and obey when you don't understand it. God says to us, trust me. He says that to us. If you learn to do whatever God tells you to do, even when it seems ridiculous, and sometimes it does, God can bless your life. You'll build a life of faith. That's the foundation of building a great life. That is the foundation of making life work, is a foundation of faith. I asked Susan, shy Susan, my wife, I asked her one time, I said, can you think of a time when you obeyed God, when he told you to do something and it didn't make any sense? And she said, sure, when he told me to marry you. Faith. So it's believing when I don't see it, and it's obeying when I don't understand it. The Bible also tells us that faith is, number three, giving when I don't have it. Giving when I don't have it. Giving and faith go together. See, God uses finances to test our faith because he knows how much finances means to us. So, have you ever had to make the decision between paying your tithe and paying a bill? This is a test. See, yep. God is saying to us at those times, who are you going to trust? Who? See, in Hebrews 11, in the Faith Hall of Fame, the very first person mentioned of this list of people with great faith is a man named Abel. Not our Abel, but another Abel, okay? He's Abel. And the man that is mentioned here in this chapter in Hebrews, he didn't do something great. He did not have any great accomplishments or achievements. The only thing that he did was he gave an offering. He was one of the first sons of Adam and Eve. So why did God put him in the Faith Hall of Fame? It wasn't how much he gave, see? It wasn't what he gave. It was all about how he gave it. It says, read with me, Hebrews 11:4. It was faith that made Abel's offering to God a better sacrifice than Cain's. Through his faith, God approved of his giving. Now I want you to circle three words. Faith, offering, giving. And connect them with a line. See, the Bible is talking about giving in faith. It wasn't what he gave that pleased God. It was how he gave it. How he gave it. The Bible is talking about giving in faith. It's not the amount. It's the attitude. This is something we have to remember. It has to be joyful. The Lord loveth a cheerful giver. See? Has to be joyful. You're saying, all right. You put that bill in the offering and you can barely let go of it. You might as well take it out and put it in your pocket because you're not going to receive any blessing whining about it. Just do it joyfully. Know that you're doing it in faith. Know that you're giving to God. Because he loves you and you love him and you trust him. Now, there are two ways to give. There is the way of reason or the way of revelation. One of these ways, you get no credit for it at all as far as God is concerned. The other way pleases God. Let's take a look at the giving by reason. Reason is, that's where you look at all the money you have, all that you have left in the checkbook, all the bills that you have outstanding, you add them all up, you total it up, and you say, oh, well, I can afford $13.42 here. Okay. And so you put that there in the offering. It doesn't require any faith. All it requires is arithmetic. See, we're talking about giving in faith. You don't have to believe in God in order to give that way. An atheist can give that way. See, the other way is revelation. And it works like this. I pray and I ask God, God, what do you want me to give? How much do you want me to trust you for this time? And it's giving by faith. It's the kind of giving that God blesses. God, you give to me, then I'll give. That's not faith, see? God says that may be gratitude. It may be gratitude, but it certainly isn't faith. Faith is giving when you can't figure out how you can afford it. It's when you give it in advance. One of the things that we do at our house, first check is tithe and offerings, first check. Because we have learned over the years that if you wait to see how it comes out, it never comes out. But if we do it first, it always comes out. Have no reason. We are mystified by that. But it always works. Always does. I know you're skeptical. See, I know you're saying, well, you're a preacher. You've got some kind of inside account here with God. No. I got that. Faith giving is when you cannot figure it out how you can afford it. It's when you give it in advance. Paul described this kind of giving in 2 Corinthians 8. He was talking about a church, a very poor church, and he was taking up an offering for another church that had been going through a terrible famine. And he celebrates them when he says, because of their great joy, this church where he was taking the offering, they gave even more than they could afford. He was amazed by it. It's when you don't feel like it and it doesn't make sense that you're stepping out in faith. God says to us, I want to bless you. I want to bless your life. But you have to trust me first. So God says, let's make a deal. Okay? Here's his deal for 2 Corinthians 9, 6 to 8. Read it with me. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, but whoever sows generously will reap generously, and God will generously provide all you need and plenty left over to share with others. Now, you understand the word sow means plant, right? It means planted. Whoever plants sparingly will also reap sparingly. You never, if you're planting a garden, you never want to save money on seed because it affects what the harvest is going to be. And God makes this promise to us here. God is saying to us clearly, you cannot outgive me. You cannot do it. Faith is giving when I don't have it. But it's even more than that. It's number four. It's persisting when I don't feel like it. Persisting when I don't feel like it. Now, this is just the opposite of our culture. This is almost the exact opposite of the culture that we live in. It's certainly opposite of every script that's written for television. See? Our culture basically says, do everything based on your feelings. Go with your feelings. If it feels good, do it. If it doesn't feel good, don't do it. Live by your emotions. We saw that in the original Star Trek movie, all of you remember that are at least 40 or over. When Luke is coming in, going to torpedo the Death Star, and he's got his targeter on, you know. And the voice of Obi-Wan Kenobi comes and says, Luke, Luke, go with your feelings, Luke. Turn off the targeter, Luke. How was that? Is that pretty good? Yeah. That's by Obi-Wan Kenobi, yeah. And so Luke, of course, he turns off the targeter, you know, so that, and he kind of closes his eyes, and there's the music, and he's coming swooping down, you know. And he pushes the button, and the torpedo takes off, whatever it was, rocket, takes missile, takes off, and hits that little spot. There was only one little spot where you could kill the Death Star, you know, one little spot. And it goes right in the center, and down, blows up everything. Why? Because he went with his feelings. See, I got to tell you, it's a lie. See, it is a lie. There is no truth to be told us by our emotions. We just don't feel right about this. I don't think so. See, we have to persist even when I don't feel like it. And what happens to us when we find our lives completely directed by our feelings is we find ourselves then manipulated by our emotions all the time. We get up in the morning, we say, well, how do I feel today? Well, I feel kind of down. I'm down. You'll be down the rest of the day. See, mature people live by their commitments, not their emotions. Emotions come and go. I tell you the truth, I don't always feel like being all that nice to all people. I don't always feel like it, you know. Now, if you say, well, we know that about you, Les, I'm going to be disappointed because I try to hide that. See? Mm-hmm. But, you know, we all have our times when we're selfish and when we're grumpy and when we're grouchy. Sometimes I don't feel like reading the Bible. Sometimes I don't feel like praying. I just don't feel like it. Usually find out that those are the times when I should pray. But the devil, the enemy of my soul, the devil comes along. He makes sure that I don't feel like doing these things. He doesn't want me to do these things. Draws me closer to God. So I have to keep on doing it. I have to keep persisting in spite of how I feel about it. It's the secret of success. It's how you make life work. Godly man or a godly woman do not become godly by accident. They become godly because they choose to do things and develop habits that develop this spiritual life that makes this life of faith work in their own life. They do it whether they feel like it or not. They just do it. They persist. How do you develop persistence? What a good question that is. The Bible tells us about Moses in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, the 7th verse. Read this with me. It says, it was by faith that Moses left Egypt and was not afraid of the king's anger. He held to his purpose like a man who could see the invisible. You know about Moses, don't you? Please say yes. Thank you both. All right. He led an entire nation. They had been slaves for 400 years out of Egypt. Okay? He led them out across the wilderness to the Red Sea. They walked through the Red Sea, escaped by the skin of their teeth from Pharaoh's army. And then they wandered in circles in the wilderness for 40 years, being unwilling to ask directions, I suppose. But nonetheless, they were out there for 40 years, waiting for God to get the people ready to go into the promised land, which was really only about a two-week walk from Egypt to begin with. A 40-year wait is a long time to wait in the desert. How can you be that persistent? The Bible tells us how we are that persistent. You look at the last line of that phrase. It says, he held to his purpose like a man who could see the invisible. Moses could see something nobody else could see. It was an act of faith. He believed God was leading them. Keep your eyes on God. It keeps you persistent in those things that you need to be persistent in. Some of you here today are at the quitting point. You're about to give up. You may be giving up on a girlfriend, a boyfriend, a relationship, a marriage. You may be. See? You may want to give up on school. Some of you feel like your health situation is hopeless. You just want to give up and die. Sick of it. I'm so sick and tired of being sick and tired. You know, some of you may be saying, you know, I'm never going to get any better. I'm never going to conquer my addiction. It's got me by the throat. I'm never going to get out of debt. It's got me by the throat. See, God brought you here this morning, I believe this, so he could say this to you. Don't give up. Hang in there. Keep believing when you don't see it. Keep obeying when you don't understand it. Keep giving, you see, when you don't have it. And keep persisting when you don't feel like it. That is what God wants to say to you. build your faith, you see. Instead of spending your time becoming more eloquent at your complaints, build your faith. Keep your eyes on God. If you look at your problems all the time, you'll be overwhelmed. If you look at the world around you, you will be distressed, wind you up. If you look within yourself, you're going to be depressed. See? But if you look at God, you can be at rest. I tell you this honestly. If you look at God, you can be at rest in your soul. It's all a matter of who you keep your eyes on. Two other things you need to know about faith. It's number five. Thanking God before I receive it. Faith is thanking God before I receive it. It's about Joshua. I'll tell you about Joshua. He's listed here in this chapter, the 11th chapter. And it says, read it with me. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. So, you know the story. It's part of the continuing story. Moses brings them out of Egypt, 40 years wandering in the wilderness. Finally, they come to the promised land. The capital of the promised land, which is the promise that God has made them, the capital is Jericho. It is the most fortified city in the known world. It was impenetrable. You couldn't get in it. It was walled. And the plan was, this was the military strategy, that the people marched around it, first in absolute silence, and then later they marched around it thanking God in praise. The whole time they were marching around it, they were thanking God in advance that he had already delivered the city into their hands. That's what they were thanking God for. Now, it must have sounded strange to those people up on the wall watching them go by, hearing them thank God that they had already possessed the city, because for the people on the wall, they were all still on the outside. They weren't in here. See? Must have sounded strange. Those Jews are delusional. See? They think they're in here, but they're not. And on the seventh day, of thanking God in advance, the walls came tumbling down, and they were in the city. Understand this. Faith is not believing that God can do something. See, God can do whatever, whether you believe it or not. See, his ability is not dependent upon you're thinking that he can do it. Faith is not believing that God will do something. That's hope. See, God will do something. That's hope, but it's not faith. Faith is believing that God is doing something right now. You see, even though I don't see it, he's working behind the scenes. The answer is already on the way. He's moving pieces into place even as we speak. God is doing something. It's thanking God in advance. I can help you with your prayer life here if you listen carefully. Let's read this together. Mark 11:24. When you pray and ask for something, believe that you have received it. That's past tense, you see. Believe that you have received it. And you will be given, present tense, what you ask for. That's in Mark. Believe that you have it, and you will be given what you ask for. Now, wait a minute. Does this mean that I have to believe I've got it in order to get it? Is that what that means? And the answer is, yes, that's what that means. That's called faith. Faith is thanking God in advance. Believe that you have received it. You know, suppose, for instance, that you come up to me after the service because I say, I've got a gift for you. And you come up and I give you a check for $1,000. Just keep your seats as an illustration, folks. Would you wait until after you cash the check to thank me? No. You'd thank me on the spot. You'd thank me right here. You see? You'd thank me before you helped me up from knocking me down. See? Even though the money isn't in your hands, even though all that, but you would thank me, see? Because you know I'd be good for it. You could count on it. If you wait until after a prayer has visibly been answered to thank God for it, is that faith? No, that's not faith, see? That's gratitude. Faith is thanking God in advance. How do we usually pray? Well, we ask God, God, here's something that I really need. And then we return and we keep on begging and we say, God, I really need this. Maybe you didn't really believe me the first time. I'm telling you now, I really, 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 really need this. Come on, God, I need it. Hello, is somebody home? God, are you there? I really, 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 really need it. Please, 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 please. It's usually kind of how we pray. See? But that's not the way God works. God is a loving Father. See? We don't have to wear him down by nagging. The Bible says we are to be persistent in prayer, so what are we supposed to do? You ask him once, and then you keep on thanking him that it's on the way. Ask him once, and then keep on thanking him that it's on the way. God, I thank you for the answer is on the way. I haven't seen it yet, but I thank you that the answer, I'm thanking you in advance. That's how we pray. That's how we pray consistently and repeatedly for something, instead of having to remind God of all the details. He knows the details. So think about this. If God tells you to go after Moby Dick, the whale, in a rowboat, you better bring tartar sauce. It's going to happen. See, if God tells you that. Number six, faith is trusting if I don't get it. Wait a minute, Les. Let me explain something that you know already. God is not a vending machine, okay? The idea that God will give you anything you want automatically is simply not true, and you know it. Vending machines will give you things you don't need. Vending machines will give you things that kill you. God will never give you something that's bad for you, for your spiritual growth. Now, as a parent, speaking to you parents, as a parent, do you give a child everything the child asks for? Well, there you go. All right. Worried me there for a minute. Gonna have to call Dr. Phil, report all of you. Of course, no, we don't do that, you see. Not if the parent is sensible and loving. God is not going to give you everything you ask for. God is more interested in your character than he is in your comfort. He is more interested in making you holy, Christ-like, than he is in making you happy. I tell you this. God knows that holiness, godliness, is the way to genuine happiness. That's how you make life work, is through godliness. So God is not going to give you everything you ask for. The Bible says that faith is trusting if I don't get it. It's here, Hebrews 11. Let's read it with me. They were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better. So if God doesn't give you exactly what you want and in the color that you desire, you need to understand that God has your interests at heart. He will take care of all of your needs. He will not take care of all of your greeds. Living by faith does not exempt you from problems. Real faith is built in the valleys of life. Sometimes it's trusting God when I don't get it. How does God build your faith? Well, just a couple of points here. Okay? First, he builds it through his word, the Bible. That's this right here. See? Get all the papers out of it here. There we go. He does it through the Bible. You may say to yourself right now, I have one of those. Actually, I have three of those. I wonder what's in there. He uses his word. The more you read this, and you need a plan to read it, I mean, you know, it's not, this is not the kind of book where you start at the beginning with Genesis and read through to the end. This is actually a library of books about the kingdom of God. And you read this, and you read this, you know, every day, maybe several times a day. Read in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. Read it. It's got good news for you. See? The more you get into this, the more you're going to grow in your faith. If you hardly ever read it, you're not going to grow much in faith. It's in here. See? This is spiritual food that builds muscles on your belief. Right here. Secondly, your faith is built through the trials and testing the stuff that you're going through. It can be built through that. Everything that you go through, see, can be a building block for your faith if you look at it correctly. It says in 1 Peter 1:7, read this with me. It says, these trials are only to test your faith, and your faith is far more precious to God than mere gold. It will bring you much praise and honor on the day of his return. God loves it when you believe in him. It's that simple. He loves it when you believe in him. We go through stuff. We all go through stuff. When we're young, we agonize about all kinds of things. As we get older, we discover that there are even more serious difficulties out ahead of us. We find that out. God can use the difficulties to test and strengthen your faith. Demands on your time, financial challenges to test your giving in faith. He can use all of those things and you will grow in him. We don't ever think about what the good is on the other side, our growth and our faith. What we are mainly concerned with is the inconvenience of the test. But it has great benefits for us if we will turn it over to God. Those of you that are here this morning that are about to give up because you're going through tough times, can't find a job, don't know what you're going to do, God's word to you is, hang on, trust me. God will see you through it if you will trust him. Now, if you work on these six areas of faith in your life, God will make a way and he will bring you through. That's how you make life work. Bow your heads, would you please? You may want to pray this prayer as we close. Don't have to pray it out loud, but in your heart as I pray it, make these words your words. God, help me to be like Noah and Abraham and obey you even when I don't understand it. Help me to be like Moses and trust you and to persist even when I don't feel like it. Help me to be like Abel and give even when I don't have it. Help me to be like Joshua to thank you before I receive it. Teach me to trust you. And I would say this, if you've never received Christ in your life, you should say something along this line. Say, Jesus Christ, help me to trust you. I want to get to know you. And I want you to become the manager of my life. teach me to live by faith in you. In your name, I pray. Amen. And amen. Now, these are all important things. They're all important things. You need to know them and you need to make them work in your life. A couple things I want to ask of you right now. First place, you all have that yellow card. You see the yellow card? Everybody's got the yellow card. Okay. Oh, good, good, okay. Now, you're going to hand that in here in a moment, and you're going to have on written on there all the things you found out about other people. Also, if you are planning on coming this Wednesday to our annual birthday dinner, we have a birthday dinner this coming Wednesday, January 16th. If you have a birthday, any birthday at all, you are invited to this dinner. Those who do not have a birthday, well, it doesn't matter. This is a great time of fellowship. We have a great time. Every month that you will sit in a group with the month of your birthday. We'll see whether or not there's anything to the zodiac or not. See, horoscopes and that. Every section will have their own birthday cake. Oh, yeah. See, it'll be a great. So if you're planning on coming to that, just put mark down on the yellow card that you're planning on coming. That's all you have to do. Put down 3, put down family, 2, 1, whatever it is, just put it on there. Okay? We would like for you to do that. I also would like to tell you that this coming Saturday, January 19th, you see a flyer in the bulletin. We are having a speaker meeting. We are beginning a series of meetings. They deal with, they are speakers dealing with those who are recovering with addictions. And we invite everyone to come. You can come if you'd like to the speaker meeting. It'll be starting at 6:30 on Saturday evening. It'll be a great time. There'll be a great speaker. It will not be me, but I'll be here. And I think you ought to come and see this if you get a chance. Or if you have no others that have needs in this area, please bring them along. They will like it, and they will not be embarrassed. Okay. Now, the entrances for that are either this south entrance or the 28th Street entrance. So we'd appreciate if you do that. Now, we have service here this evening, 5 o'clock, hymns and Bible study. We're continuing in the book of Mark. We got great things going on. Oh, I know what I was going to tell you. On our website now, thanks to John Hull over here, our website, we are putting the every Sunday's message on there, every Sunday's sermon. It's audio only, but there's a space on our website. You can click the link and you can hear it again in case you've missed any places to fill out in your outline. That's right. So, there you go. We are so up to date. All right, ushers, come forward. I'm running out of things to say. Are you ready? We thank you, Father, for the abundant life that you give us. Help us, Father, to learn how to build a life of faith, how to make it work, how to experience joy living in this fallen world. We pray that you will bless each one as they give. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen.
I'm on the highway to heaven. None but the pure heart can go. I'm on the highway to heaven. None can go but the pure in heart. Well, if you follow the good Lord, people, yeah, he can show you where to start. I said, get on your knees, lift your hand and praise, shout his name, good Lord, well, I've been saved. Yeah, I'm on the highway to heaven. I'm on the highway to heaven. I'm on the highway to heaven. I want you to take a little walk with me. lay my burden down. Well, gotta find Christ in your heart. Won't be no evil laying round. While I'm on the highway to heaven, I'm on. Take a walk with me.
I just wrote that back there.
Well, that's Kyle Rowland. You know, he's been running around this church ever since he was about 3 feet tall. And he's a musician, professional musician, and he, as he said, he just wrote that last, when he was back there, just before church today. So we thank you. We thank you, Kyle. You're doing a great job. We're proud of you. Yep, we are. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Shall we stand? Well, it's Cookie Sunday. That means we're going to have cookies and we'll have some coffee out here, I guess. We finally found where the switch was, so we got the power on. It's always a mystery at First Church, you know, how these things work. So we hope that you'll join us out there, and we will have a good time together. You can just count on it. Let me pray for you before you go. Father, we come to you and we thank you. I ask for your blessing, dear Lord, upon every home represented here. Whether it's a home of one or two or three or many, whatever it may be, dear Lord, help us, bless us. Help us to lift you up in all things. Help us to build a life of faith that we will do these things that help make our lives work. We thank you for your knowledge. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. And we ask your blessing upon each one. Amen. And all the people said, God bless you. Thank you.